movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Nicholas Commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace. Stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do? Bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight's always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Good morning, folks. This is Comet trying to fill in for some dead air here. I've got a couple of clips I can play, and I'll do that to try to cover till 3, and if no one gets on, then I've got another show that I can play for you. You probably know who it is, Robert Stanley, being interviewed by Michael Deacon, Michael Deacon program, and I've listened to this already, so I don't remember them using any F-bombs in this particular show. They usually do, so I'm going to try to play this one. If there's an F-bomb in there, then it's one that I missed, and it's going to be just one because I did go through it. But anyway, there's a couple of these clips that I'm going to play. We'll start with this one. This is Greg Carlwood. He has a YouTube channel called The Higher Side Chats. I don't know what happened to them. They used to do shows regularly, really good shows. And they've kind of, I don't know if they've got kicked off YouTube. I guess not, because I still see some clips, but they've possibly went over to another platform to keep from losing their channel. And I hate that because they do some really good interviews on here. I could go back and play some interviews from years ago, you know, but they're not, a lot of them are not relevant anymore, or they're just outdated. So I'll spare us that. But this is a couple of 15 minute clips from his shows that he posted last week that I watched. And we're going to listen to those, and maybe somebody will come in, maybe Jer Bear will come in and just kick me off here and take over, I hope. But if not, then at least we got something going on here. So let's see here, because I am still a rookie at this. Share screen. And I would like to, while I'm on here, I'd like to thank everybody that volunteers here behind the scenes, because there is a lot of people that spend a lot of their spare time keeping this place going for nothing, just for one reason and one reason only, and that is to inform the people and try to save this world, try to save ourselves, to get you the knowledge that you've been missing, that has been hidden from you. And we're not always right, because we're searching too. But when we do find something, we bring it to you, we go over it, and we may find out that it's wrong, we may find out it's right. But you don't know either one unless you do go through this stuff. And sometimes it's tedious, it's boring, and sometimes it just aggravates the piss out of you. But you have to do this. If you don't do this, you will not know how to go forward in the future as a free people. We're getting slowly and surely we are being handcuffed overnight sometimes. Just you wake up the next morning, you can't do nothing. So we're going to ask now for anyone out there that has the ability to donate to this station, if you would please do so. It really is needed. No one gets paid here. We simply need to keep the station on the air. And why you ask that? Because it's a free speech platform that is becoming very, very rare. Very rare. One day this may be the only place left. But if we don't keep it going, then it certainly won't be the only place left. But I hope that you do find it in your heart to support the station. This station is here for a good purpose. It's good at heart. It has a good purpose. Has good people, and I hope you support it. So here we go. Let me pull this clip up. We're gonna play this one. And there may be some music at the beginning of it or whatever, but it's a 16-minute clip. Got two of them. This one is Dr. Russell Blaylock. I'm sure you've heard of him too, being interviewed by Greg Carlwood. And it's not the full interview, just a 15-minute clip. Here we go.
But coming back to excitotoxins, in your book, it mentions that the amount of MSG and similar additives have doubled in every decade since the 1940s. By 1972, 262,000 metric tons of MSG were produced, and many cookbooks recommended adding MSG to their recipes, especially for soups and sauce, like you mentioned. I didn't even know that MSG was ever a purchasable retail item, but you also say that it's been recently disclosed that excitotoxins are being added to smoking tobacco. So if that wasn't addictive enough, here's another layer of addiction. And it just seems like the evidence is quite clear of the damage it does to the body. The only thing it does is taste good. Well, that means we are a nation of addicts. And I looked up Ajinomoto, the company who produces most of the world's supply of MSG, and their stock price has never been higher than it has been in 2023. And that is really sad. That's a demoralizing sign to see, given all the data that's out there now.
Well, when my book first came out, I got invited to Chicago to lecture. And so there were, several hundred people there. And they had the major newspapers in Chicago. I sent representative reporters to listen, and while I was waiting to speak, I got to speak to the man who worked primarily for processed companies to put MSG in. And he talked to me privately. He says, I'm the one that puts it in the food. And he said, I don't care what you say. We're going to change the name and figure a way to get it in the food. He told me that. And I said, well, I thank you for telling me that, because I'm going to tell every audience from now on. And I did. I lectured on that. I told the audience exactly what he said. And the reporter that was from the Chicago Tribune was sitting in the audience. He heard my talk. And then he wrote an article that was critical. I wrote him a personal letter. I said, you sat in a lecture. You heard the science. And you're going to live for what you've done.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. And let's drill down on the hide and seek game of the naming and the marketing a little bit more, because people might think, well, I know MSG is bad, and they might remember a dust up a few years ago, and they might assume, well, we learned it was bad and it was removed from the food supply. And obviously we have aspartame, which is very much in the food supply. But you say in the book that you could buy products that say right on them, no MSG, and yet it's in there. Or they'll have labels like 100% natural sweeteners, and it will be aspartame. Is there more to say about the coded language they're using and how we can avoid it? Because we know it's bad, but we are being lied to on the packaging. I guess you should avoid anything that's in a package like that, but what other types of tricks are they using to get people who know it's bad to still buy it and ingest it?
Well, it's like the guy at the meeting told me we're going to figure a way to get it in the food. And what they did is they changed the name. And the law says that if you don't add 100% MSG to the food, you don't have to put it on the label. So if you have an ingredient that has 100% MSG, you can put it in the food and not put it on the label. That's in the law. And so what they did other than that is to use products they knew had high glutamate in. For instance, you see natural flavors. A lot of those natural flavors have very high glutamate concentrations in them. You see soy protein extract. That's glutamate. You'll see autolyzed yeast is very common. And autolyzed yeast is you extract the glutamate. So you see all of these names, and it's a very long list. Adrian Samuels was an expert in that area. I met her, and she showed me all the names that they change, that they create. And so she's written a number of articles about these names. So they disguise the names. And people look at the package and say, well, there's no MSG in it. It just has soy protein extract, has autolyzed yeast, has carrageenan, and it's okay. No, it ain't. That's extract that purposely concentrates the glutamate. And what we found since then is that almost all tumors have glutamate receptors. And they grow much faster and spread much faster in the face of glutamate. So if you have cancer and you've got your cancer under control and you eat a diet high in glutamate, it's going to spread. It's going to grow much faster. And I've written a couple of articles on that. It makes cancer grow. And so what the smart people said, well, why don't we block the glutamate receptor? Well, they blocked the glutamate receptors and add it to the traditional treatments, and the tumors respond a lot better. So here are people with cancer out there eating this food filled with glutamate, and their cancer's uncontrollable, and they're dying from cancer because they're eating what I always call is a cancer fertilizer. So you're fertilizing your cancer by eating this processed food.
Wow. It's funny how eye-opening a changing of the terms can be. And I like the term cancer fertilizer. And aspartame itself has an interesting story I wanted to fit in here, made by a company named Cyril. And aspartame was approved in 1974, but then pulled by the FDA in 1975 because the animal studies were so damning. Then in 1980, Ronald Reagan was elected and Donald Rumsfeld was CEO of Cyril from 77 to 85. And used his sway in government to get it reapproved for dry goods by the FDA under the new head, Arthur Hayes Jr. Well, Del Bigtree said it was one of the first things that Hayes did in his new position. And within 2 years, he was under investigation by Congress for taking money from outside companies. So he resigned. But the last thing he did on his way out the door was approve aspartame for beverages. So that is the rough history of aspartame, one of the worst additives ever put in the American food supply, and it barely made it in. There was a big investigation. It was banned and then came back out. And when you think about the damage that it's done and how close it was to not being in our food supply, man, we took the wrong road there.
Well, there's a cancer expert named Razzini, and he's from Italy. He is the number one person to study the cause of cancer and all these things, all foods and all natural products, pesticides, herbicides. He studies them. He did a study on aspartame, and he found that it increased the incidence of lymphoma, which was one of the fastest growing cancers we see in humans. And it increased slightly tumors, brain tumors, and it increased breast cancers. So immediately our FDA said, oh, well, it's not a good study. So he did a lifetime study, a 2-year study of animals. That's their lifetime. And he confirmed exactly what he found. He did a huge number of animals. And I predicted, I said, now when that gets to the United States, they're going to cover it up. That's exactly what they did. Well, that's a lifetime study. Well, that's what humans do. They start as children. The whole life they're consuming aspartame. And it's just like the Razzini study. And they're getting breast cancer. They're getting pancreatic cancer. They're getting lung cancer. They're getting all these cancers. And it's stimulating the growth of that cancer. And they just keep drinking it. The sodas is the number one source of aspartame. That's exactly what he approved on his way out, is the sodas.
Yeah. And you mentioned seeing little kids, toddlers, getting a sip of diet soda, which is just mind-boggling to me. But it doesn't even have to be kids drinking adult beverages. This stuff, MSG in particular, a lot of these excitotoxins, they're put right in baby food, right?
Well, they did it first. And Dr. Olney, who I knew personally, I stayed at his house and I visited his laboratory, is that he testified for Congress about the brain damaging effect of it in baby food. Well, Congress didn't have the courage to withdraw it, but the companies knew the publicity so bad, so they said, well, we won't put it in baby food anymore. They put it in adolescent food, just a little bit older. Your brain really doesn't finish developing fully until age 27. They knew that. So here you got adolescents who are consuming food for adolescent little kids, 2 and 1 years old, have aspartame in it and have MSG in it and have a number of excitotoxins in it. And the mother doesn't know any difference. And that kid ends up abnormal. Well, look, my kid's fat. Well, look, my kid has a cancer. Well, look, my kid has one of these other complications from consuming this type of excitotoxin. You see? And Congress okayed that. The food processing companies encourage it. I mean, you look at some of these foods, it's just encouraging. It's sweetened with an artificial sweetener. In other words, it'll keep your kid from getting fat. Why are kids fat? They say, well, the growth of obesity is mostly in these young children. Why are they growing fat? They weren't fat my age. They weren't fat all this time. And suddenly, out of the blue, they're fat. Well, isn't that ironic that it's the same time you started putting this stuff in food? And like I said, it doubles every 10 years. And so now kids are fatter than ever. And they say, well, they don't eat any more than I did when I was a kid. Well, they're now getting an excitotoxin.
Right. It's a really troubling situation. And I have a toddler and another one on the way. So I'm always thinking about trying to keep all the poisons in the world at bay. And it probably drives my wife crazy how many rules I try to put on us, and because there's just so many things in society that are toxic. I always tell her, hey, it's not my fault. Let's not use plastic. Let's not use aluminum, and let's not eat any of this processed food. But to be fair, like, I'm 38 years old, and I probably ate as much from a drive-thru as anyone could between the ages of 18 and 28. Soda with every fast food combo, as you know, and I feel obviously okay. Maybe I just dodged a bunch of bullets, but when you read the book, it's like when you say things like a kid can get a brain lesion after just one dose of a certain concentration. I mean, this is really scary stuff. Is it reversible in any way? Has this stuff built up in my body that even if I stop now, I should expect dementia or cancer by 50? What do you tell people who went through a decade of eating trash and didn't really know these things until later?
Well, a lot of people in that category. And what we find is there's a great number of natural products that do protect. And in fact, there's a number of natural products that protect against the effect of these excitotoxins. And that's primarily what I've been concentrating on is what can you do both to stop it and to reverse it? And what we find is a great number of plant extracts that do exactly that. And so the government is now bending over backwards to outlaw the supplements. I belong to another group, and that's what we do. We're trying to protect the supplements against the governments. But all the governments of the world, particularly UN, is doing everything in its power to make sure you can't get these. And again, it goes back to population control. Well, they want people to die in middle age. If you live in an old age, you're going to be on Medicare. You're going to be on supplement programs. You're going to have cost the government a lot of money. But if you die at mid-age, you don't cost the government any money. Dead people don't cost the government money.
Right.
And like I always tell people, I say there's two ways to solve poverty, or maybe more, but at least two ways. One, you teach these people how to earn a living and sacrifice and do things right and have a good life. Or you can kill them off. Both of them reduce poverty.
Which
one do you want? Do you want to reduce the number of poor people by killing them? Or you want to just teach them how to, it's like the old Chinese proverb about teaching a person to fish. You either give them a fish or you can teach them how to fish.
Can you believe it, people? A video clip and a peek into how that sweet THC sausage is made. For some people, I'm sure it's nice to put a face to the name, so I started making clips that are a little more YouTube-friendly than the full show tends to be. Get the full show on any podcasting platform. I prefer to keep it audio only, so we have a more decentralized distribution for a controversial show, and also so I can edit out the ums and ahs and barking dogs and all the things that happen when a person records in their home environment. And then if you really like the show, you can sign up for THC Plus, and instead of 1 hour interviews, you get the full 2 hour interview for just $8. I think that's a better deal, more of a win-win than asking you to support the show by booking a therapy session or buying generic Viagra. It's getting weird out there, folks. So just go to thehiresidechats.com or click the link at the top of any set of show notes and all your wildest dreams will come true. All right? All right. The Higher Side Chat Show.
All right, folks. That's the first clip I have. That was Dr. Blaylock going over the MSG and the excitotoxins in our food. And let me tell you, folks, it's there. You can find it. If you look for it, you have to do a little research to discover the new names that they have put on it. But they did exactly what he said. They have changed the names, and they just put them as extracts or artificial this or that. But it's MSG, folks, and it's damaging the entire population, starting with the youngers. By the time our kids get our age, they're gonna have so many health problems. It's terrible. I don't know how to handle this sometimes. But we need to know these things. Okay, so I'm gonna go to the next one. This is also Greg Carl Wood. From the Higher Side Chats. I really like this channel. They do some good interviews, and they always at the end of their shows, and these are just clips, so it's not there on these, but at the end of their shows, they do, I guess he has maybe his girlfriend or wife or sister or somebody has a beautiful voice, and they make up these songs that are patriotic songs, and they're relative to today's world. They talk about all the things that are happening in these songs, and they're really good. They're really good. Like I said, it won't be in here. I wish I could find one of the old ones. There's a couple of her songs that she sang that I really, really like, and I'd love to play them on here if I could find them. I just don't know where they're at. But here we go with the second clip from Greg Carl Wood's channel, and he's talking to Brian Cotnoir. I'm not sure how that's pronounced, but here we go. Enjoy it.
Let's spend a little time on intention and ethics, because you have this paragraph where you say, for this discourse, meaning the dream work, for any discourse. This is just from that section of the book. But for these practices, not to lead you astray and to guard against self-deception and inattention, understand that ethics are essential. They are something that are stressed in all the texts and are of significant importance. They are perhaps the hardest of the inner practices. Well, elaborate on what the texts stress about ethics and why they would be so important in this context, or why they'd be some of the hardest practices. I find ethics to kind of come fairly natural.
For most people. Until you put something in front of them that is their precious. And then they get obsessed. And then it doesn't stop. Because I'm really close. And if you don't understand how important this is and how close I am to this, well, you know, I just must go do this. And this is what I'm talking about. This actually becomes a... Talk to most artists that are working on a project that they got some funding for, and now they need more funding, but they don't have it. Ask them where they're getting that money from, and you start to hear some things coming out that are a little dicey, right? Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. It becomes this, you know what? I want to do this experiment with lead and mercury, and I live in an apartment building, but I really need to do it, right? Because I think this one little thing will create that piece that will answer this, and I don't have any other place to do it. I need to do it, right? So now what are you doing? You're shitting in your environment, right? You're pouring mercury down the drain. Why? Because it's important to you. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's like, and you won't even see it. That's where I'm saying it's slippery, because of the importance of the work that you want to see. There's with Oppenheimer, the film, right, that just came out. So this idea of what they call like mission creep. You know, you're on to one thing. So as we all know, if you've seen the movie or you know the history of it, right, the bomb was built to defeat the Nazis because the Nazis are in the race to do it. However, they were out of the war earlier and they're still building the bomb. We don't need the bomb. War's over. Japan's about to go under, right? And there's all these thoughts.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.